Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
A very good morning to you all and welcome to DW's Africa Link program this Thursday, the 28th of April. I'm Isaac Mugabe, your host in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, South Africa marks Freedom Day amid protests calling for the resignation of President Jacob Zuma.
We're participating in this march because we cannot be led by someone who takes a decision to violate the very constitution upon which this country is based.
Also on the program, we'll be hearing how street beggars in northern Ghana have made a fortune out of begging.
I am a beggar, and that is my work. I built my house through that, and I wish to build more houses, so I'm still begging.
Plus, another chance to listen to our ongoing drama series, Crime Fighters, a learning by your production. Stay tuned.
Top story.
South Africans celebrated Freedom Day, marking the anniversary of the day in 1994 when the country held its first ever all-race democratic election, ending decades of sanctioned racial oppression under the apartheid system. President Jacob Zuma used the opportunity to urge the country not to allow party politics to divide it. But his message didn't deter civil society groups to stage protests in major cities calling for his resignation. Zuma has come under fire most recently after the Constitutional Court found he violated the Constitution in his handling of the Public Protector's report on upgrades at his Nkandla home state. From Durban, Subri Govender filed this report.
These were the vibrant scenes in the cities of Johannesburg, Cape Town, Bloemfontein, Durban, and other centers after activists took to the streets to highlight their demands for the removal from office of President Jacob Zuma. The participants represented a number of social, community, trade union, and political parties. Some of them were former struggle and political stalwarts who sacrificed their lives for the freedom being enjoyed in South Africa today, while others were current members of the ruling ANC. They all want Zuma out of office, saying he has violated the constitution as ruled by the Constitutional Court recently. Zuma was found to have failed to uphold, protect, and promote the constitution for benefiting unfairly after more than 246 million rand was spent on security upgrades at his Nkandla homestead in the province of KwaZulu-Natal.
We want to see him going as soon as possible. That's a reason for us to be here, because now we feel that Msholozi have breached the constitution of our country.
We're participating in this march because we cannot be led by someone who takes a decision to violate the very constitution upon which this country is based. He is the one who's supposed to protect it, uphold it, and he hasn't done so.
While the protesters were loudly voicing their demands, the ruling ANC leaders maintained that President Zuma will remain in office. Arts and Culture Minister Nathi Imtetwa made this clear during an official government Freedom Day rally in the town of Giani, north of the city of Pretoria. Zuma was the main speaker at the rally.
The president is not going to be removed by anybody from office. The constitution of the Republic of South Africa dictates that he must do his duty for the next 5 years, and that's what is going to happen in South Africa.
President Zuma himself was also unapologetic. He said political leaders cannot promote violence in a democratic society, referring to the leader of the economic freedom fighters, Julius Malema, who said in a recent television interview that they would resort to arms against the ruling ANC if they are confronted by the country's military.
We should isolate all those who promote violence and anarchy. We know that some within our communities believe such violence will make them popular and try to use anarchy to build their political careers. Let us not allow this to happen in our name as the people.
Despite the resistance by Zuma and his fellow leaders, there's no doubt that the Zuma Must Fall campaign is gaining momentum. The countrywide protests on Freedom Day will lead to further robust public debates over the next few months.
Subri Govinda reporting. But how significant were these protests and the fact that they were organized coincide with Freedom Day? A question I put Alan Murphy, the coordinator of Eco Peace Party in South Africa.
Well, as you've mentioned, it's a significant day in the history of celebrating one of the most significant changes in South African history. Our freedom is enshrined in the Constitution, and not for the person in the highest office in the country to be undermining the Constitution is undermining our freedom. So it's a very appropriate day.
It's not the first time South Africans, through massive protests, call for Zuma's resignation, but he has been able to get away with it. What makes him invincible?
He has his supporters. Obviously, he has a clique that supports him for various reasons, whether it's political or economic. So the call isn't just for a single change in one person in the leadership. Obviously, the slogan and the call is directed at the highest office. But we're also saying that those people who support Zuma should either stop supporting him, stop protecting him, or they should go. In fact, we're also saying that there needs to be systemic change. The corruption is not just some people doing wrong, but it goes further than that. There's so much inequality. There are people still living in poverty, without houses, without jobs, without food. It's just not right. It's just not what people fought and died for a free South Africa.
Where do you see Zuma after his term of office, that is next year? I mean, do you think his reputation has been damaged beyond repair in such a way that his influence ends with his presidency?
After a ruling like that from the Constitutional Court, or just the widespread disfavor, he is the most unpopular president we've ever had. The ANC has to decide through its own channels whether it's better with him or without him. Protest included ANC members. So the ANC members who are not happy with the situation have to ask themselves what they can do to remedy it. And if within the ANC, the rank and file, the branches, can't express their displeasure or can't make a change, then there's something wrong fundamentally with the ANC. And people will have to make a change, either to leave it. You know, I mean, I'm not an ANC member, but ANC members have to look at that issue. Somebody who has been found lacking in the highest office would be appreciated if they just stood down and another person took their place. I'm not saying that would solve all the issues of corruption, but that's sort of just the normal way that you would expect things to be done.
I was speaking to Alan Murphy, the coordinator of Eco Peace Party in South Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
Now to South Sudan, where life seems to be returning to normal in the capital, Juba, after the return of Riek Machar and his subsequent installation as vice president. Both President Salva Kiir and Riek Machar have stepped up consultations with their parties in a bid to form a unity government. Fixing the country's economy is the key priority for the two leaders. From Juba, Wake Simon Wudu sent this report.
Attorney Wake Attorney is President Salva Kiir's spokesman. He told that Vela that President Kiir and Machar are now making consultations as to form a transitional government of national unity now that Machar has returned to Juba and is the country's first vice president.
The president now is working on the process to dissolve the government in the running up to formation of the transitional government of national unity. There are a bit of consultation that are taking place between the parties and particularly the first vice president with his team. Have not yet resolved the matter, and they have not submitted the list of the 10 ministers up to this position, up to the time I'm talking to you here.
Attorney said President Salva Kiir is expected to dissolve the current government any time from now. The two leaders are 4 months behind the scheduled time to form a unity government, and a top on the agenda will be fixing of the staggering economy. James Garang, a senior economist with the Ebony Center for Strategic Studies, told Dutch Vela that for Salva Kiir and Machar to be able to fix the economy, they have to make immediate reforms in key institutions.
They must put the right people in the right place. Reforms. In the agreement, there are key institutions that are supposed to be reformed.
in order to jumpstart the economy. One of those is the Minister of Finance, the second one is Sonalben, and of course other economic related institutions. Reforming those institutions, overhauling dysfunctional sectors and departments, and bringing in the right skills in those areas should be number one.
South Sudan economy backslide to the worst last December after government devalued its currency against the US dollar. Economists say inflation in Juba is raging at more than 240% and that the economy shrank by 5% last year. Garang says a good economic plan will help get the country back to its feet.
Central Bank and Finance come up with what I would call a rescue package, an economic plan that look at both sides, fiscal policy and monetary policy. On fiscal side, one of them should be revenue generation, how to raise revenue more than what we are raising now, and then expenditure control, tightening our belt. On the fiscal side, the volatility in the market has not gone and away. The prices are high up in the sky, and the incomes are so low on earth. We need to bring the two together. We need to work hard on price instability.
That report was compiled by Wake Simon Wudu. We apologize for the poor quality of the sound there. Let's now head to Northern Ghana, where street beggars have made a fortune out of begging. The government acknowledged that begging is a social problem and as a way of discouraging it, passed a law that would allow for the prosecution of persons found culpable in Tamale, the capital of Northern Ghana, those involved in the habit of begging have made quite a fortune out of it. Some use megaphones to call out passers-by to give them money. Maxwell Souk reports.
Adam Mahama, a 64-year-old man, is out on his usual begging spree, singing through his megaphone to seduce passers-by to dash him some money.
I am a beggar, and that is my work. I built my house through that, and I wish to build more houses, so I'm still begging.
On the same spot where Mahama stands, there are two female beggars arguing over territory to who is due to stand at that venue. I can also see women, children, and men with no physical challenges waiting for givers. Munira to Abdul Razak told me that she raised all her seven children through begging.
Yes, I earn some money from begging. I cannot get food for my children if I don't go out begging, and I cannot also afford their school fees.
It is widely known in Tamale that many beggars are richer than some givers. However, Abukari Al-Hassan, a hawker, is worried about the spate of begging in recent times.
Some they use that business. You see some of them even owning houses, having fleet of cars through begging.
In this part of the country, many people believe in sorcery and soothsaying, and that has made begging flourish in this area, according to Barney, an anti-corruption officer in Tamale.
You look at the practice we have now. Just very minute portion of them are in it. The rest have just taken as a profession, just because they see that the society in which we live allows that. Begging flourishes very well, so they use it as a profession to make a living.
There is an act in place to prosecute people who are not destitute, but make begging a profession. However, that act is not enforced because begging has permeated many spheres of society. But the practice is far from over because the country has become a fertile ground for beggars, with people from other West African countries, including Mali, Burkina Faso and Niger, flooding the streets of Tamale to beg.
Maxwell Souk with that report. And it's time to have another chance to listen to our drama series, Crime Fighters, a Learning by Ear production.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello, and welcome to Crime Fighters, Drugs to Cure, Drugs to Kill, written by Mukoma Wangugi. This is the second episode, The Good Doctor. The three detectives, Kalumba, Salamisha and Chokbank, are investigating the death of 21-year-old Peter, who overdosed and was found with various drugs beside his bed. It is not yet clear whether he took them willingly or was murdered. After the detectives visited the house, they met Fuma, Peter's parents' houseboy, at a bar called The Lounge. He had something to tell them, but their conversation was interrupted.
As soon as Fuma left for the bathroom, the bartender, the doorman, and a customer who'd been sitting at the bar drew guns and fired straight at our table. Chokbank immediately drew his gun and kicked over the table so we could duck behind it. I reached for my gun and took out the bartender. Salamisha shot the doorman, while Chokbank got the customer who'd been pretending to be drunk. Most of the other customers ran out when the shooting started. Those who remained were frozen in fear. When we came out from behind the table, the preacher man was still standing, trying to comfort a few shaken souls who'd sobered up in a hurry.
Repent, my children. Repent. Walk to the Lord, for he has saved our lives. He has saved our lives, preserved us from the fate of the wretched, the thieves, and murderers. Follow me to find your true salvation. Follow me.
Where's Fuma?
Still hiding in the toilet.
All right, I'll go and check on him.
Walk to the Lord, for he has saved our lives.
That preacher man, what a peculiar fellow.
What are you trying to say?
Well, consider the timing. He happened to show up just before the shooting happened. He could have provided the distraction.
Salamisha! Chokbank!
Kalumba, are you okay?
Kalumba!
Where is he? Can you see him, Chokbank?
Kalumba!
I'm okay. It's Fuma. He's dead. Shot twice. Twice through the heart. A professional killer. Must have happened during the commotion. Someone must have followed him here.
Let's check to see if he has anything on him.
No, don't touch him. We should get forensics here first.
Right.
There might be something that'll lead us to his killer. It couldn't have been those three out here. His killer must have escaped to the other customers. Maybe there's some DNA. Perhaps he used the toilet.
I agree.
What was it Fuma said before he went to the toilet? That we should look around?
The lounge itself is our lead. We need to go through everything here. Call and tell headquarters. Let forensics collect what they need, then we'll tear the place apart, plank by plank. We need to go through the books, find the patrons. The lounge is where we'll find the clues.
In this dangerous situation, a number of things became clear to me. First, Peter's death was not a suicide. He was murdered. Second, we were going to find out who killed Peter. And third, I had a premonition that Salamisha, Chokbank and I were not all going to survive this. After forensics had dabbed around with their little sponges and cutted the bodies away, we ripped the place apart. It was when we pulled up the floorboards that we found them. All sorts of pills, some labeled for malaria, AIDS, tuberculosis. And then the hard drugs, cocaine and heroin. We estimated the street value at about 20 million Ketagu shillings, over $2 million. A call to headquarters quickly established that the owner of the lounge was one Dr. James Kamkuta, a respected surgeon who shot to fame when he performed the country's first open-heart surgery. He was so well-respected that our president appointed him his official health advisor. It made no sense. Why would he own a bar or sell drugs when he was already filthy rich? The next morning, tired beyond belief, Salamisha and I paid him a visit. Chokbank would have enjoyed meeting the doctor, but of course I'd called in sick.
Thank you for seeing us at such short notice, Dr. Kamkuta. I'm Detective Salamisha, and this is my partner, Detective Kalumba.
Partner? A lucky man indeed. Naturally, I'm very curious about why you wanted to see me. You must be very busy, so I suggest we dispense with pleasantries and get straight to the point. What can I do for you, detectives?
Doctor, do you know a bar called The Lounge?
Yes, I know it, because it belongs to my brother. What happened there? Did somebody break in?
We'll ask the questions if that's okay. Why are the license and title deed in your name?
Every family has a black sheep. Ours is my younger brother. He did everything wrong. Dropped out of high school, got involved in petty crime. Then later on, things got much worse.
And what is this much worse?
Drugs. And what they made him do. He started robbing shops, then banks. During one robbery, he was shot. But fortunately for him, he didn't die. Instead, he was arrested. I'm telling you this in strictest confidence, detectives. It mustn't come out.
We can't make any promises, I'm afraid. Especially if it means denying people justice.
But you must ask yourselves, is justice for the living or for the dead? If your justice is for the living, then what I'm about to tell you absolutely cannot come out. It will do us all more harm than good.
Just tell us what you know. We promise we'll work something out that will satisfy both the living and the dead.
All his life, my brother wanted to own a bar. I wanted to become a surgeon. He wanted to own a bar. We all have our dreams, right? But of course, with this record, he couldn't get a license.
Oh, come on. With your money, you could easily buy him a license.
Listen, when I did the open heart surgery, the president asked me to be his personal doctor. It was good for the country, he said. Show the world that in our country, politicians didn't have to go to America or Europe for treatment. Said it would make Ketagu's citizens believe in their country and president. I didn't want to do it.
Why not?
I'd worked hard. Years and years of 15, sometimes 48-hour days. I had made myself into the man I'd become. Do you understand? I was my own God. And he wanted it all for himself. For it to be all about him. I'm no longer the Dr. Kamkuta. I'm the president's personal physician. Now do you understand?
Okay, go on.
The next day, I got a visit from one of his goons, straight out of The Godfather. He said he had an offer I couldn't refuse. Either I worked for the president or my brother would go to jail for life. At that point, I realized I had no choice. I should just try to get the best deal possible. I asked to be paid very well, to be allowed to continue my private practice and for my brother's criminal record to be erased. I was told I'd be paid well, but my brother's record couldn't be wiped. That's how blackmail works. They kept it there as leverage. So I did the next best thing. I opened the lounge for him in my own name. And now he's ruined it all again, hasn't he? What has he done this time?
Where can we find your brother?
I'll give you the address. His name is Malinya. Here is his home address.
Thank you, Dr. Kamkuta. We'll see ourselves out. Salamisha, shall we pick up Chokbank and go and see the brother?
I hope Chokbank's awake. We'll need him in case things get heavy.
What will the detectives find when they visit Dr. Kamkuta's brother Malinya? Join us next time to find out. In the meantime, you can visit our website, dw.com/crimefighters, and feel free to comment on our Facebook page. Bye-bye for now.
And now, a reminder of the stories that we've covered for you in the last 25 minutes. South Africa marked Freedom Day amid protests calling for the resignation of President Jacob Zuma. South Sudan's leaders have begun consultations in a bid to form a government of national unity. We've also been hearing how street beggars in northern Ghana have made a fortune out of begging. That's all we had for you. In case you'd like to comment on the stories that we've covered, send an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, an SMS to country code 49160957-59510, or a letter to Africa Link DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. I'm Isaac Mugabe, wishing you a splendid day ahead.